Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Bird. What's up, man? Rick Camacho, dog. You know how we do it, man. I know you be traveling, doing your thing. Hit me up, dog. I need an intro from you for my show. Soul Kitchen Radio.
My man DJ Slicks always do it his way. From the bay to the valley, he always put it down with the street level thump and the underground sound. Now you can find him on the .com, Soul Kitchen Radio. Take it to your favorites, man, that's the best way to go. From the up and coming to the vet on the grind, he takes the kind of music that'll stimulate your mind.
Is it a sign of the times when the clock strikes 11 and Slicks starts to reppin' with Omizi in a session? One time I missed a Monday but didn't really trip. I just subscribed on iTunes and downloaded quick with a click or a tap. He's bound to get you right on your desktop, connect with your handheld device. So tell your cousin and your friend about the hottest show with Slick Rick Camacho, Soul Kitchen Radio. If you haven't heard Soul Kitchen Radio, man, let me tell you, Soul Kitchen Radio, Slick Rick Camacho, Soul Kitchen Radio, Big Old Maisie, Soul Kitchen Radio, Crazy Ball Heads Down with Soul Kitchen Radio. Tell your grandma this is Soul Kitchen Radio. You are now tuned to Soul Kitchen Radio, New Music Monday, Soul Kitchen Radio.
Oh man, here we go again, another week, Soul Kitchen Radio. I am your host, Mr. Rick Camacho. Yes, sirree, we got a great show today. We got my cousin Leonard, he's calling in today. We're talking about the California Senate Bill number 9, and we're going to get more about that next week. I'm so excited because next week we're doing straight fantasy football. Anybody is in the Soul Kitchen Radio Fantasy Football League, next week is the week. We're not talking, we're going to play some music. Well, we might have some here and there or whatever, but it's mainly going to be about football. And this guy right here, Do the Damn Thing football team, just got in the Soul Kitchen Radio League. What's up, man?
What to do, baby? I'm just slowly waking up, but yeah. Doing the damn thing.
The South.
And you would think Omizi would be the one sounding like that coming back from Norway.
Like, who was that? We got Bun B on the phone. What is you, baby?
Oh, we're dope.
It's good to hear you, man. I'm up to
myself.
But Mike got he was the last team invited into Soul Kitchen Radio Fantasy Football League. And so good luck, buddy. Good luck.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't know how I'm going to do, but it should be fun.
So we got four of us on the league. And Omizi's just going to be kind of – Omizi, I'm going to give you the supervisor of the league. You want to be that?
That's what I'm talking about. Let me be the sub-commissioner of the overview.
Okay. You get the overview of what the hell's going on.
The overview. Yeah. You can pay me in bud, too. I just want you to know that.
Okay. We'll do that.
Pay me in bud, pimp. Hey, you see on the news, you see how them fans was going at it?
Oh, my God. That was crazy. You know what? In fact, just because I know I owe you 20 because of the 49ers beat the Raiders. I'm gonna do you more than that. I'm gonna play the San Francisco 49ers theme song. I'm gonna go ahead and give you guys your light on the beginning
of
the show.
Is it a real one? Don't do no fake stuff. Don't do no more. Is it a real one? I ain't never heard of it. Are you talking about the old school one with
giving you the classic. This is as San Francisco 49er as you could get.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready? Now, this is when I think of the 49ers, this is what I think of. And this is pure 49er fans, so you're going to love this one. All right, stay tuned. Here it comes right here. This is for congratulations to the San Francisco 49ers for going 19-18 in the, you know, they were 30, it was 38 games yesterday, or Saturday was the 39th game they played. They were tied 19-19, and now it's 20-19, the series. For preseason games for the Oakland Raiders against the San Francisco 49ers. So this right here is your song, San Francisco 49er fan. Here you go.
Oh,
getting dark. Leather helmets were okay. Sunday was a day to play. Frankie, Albert, Ben, Ducci, Norm, Stanley, Joe, the Toe, Vic and Tony, Olatina, Morabito's had a dream. Played the Giants and the Bears. Cars, Packers were not scared. The city helped to make the sell. They would join the NFL.
We are the 49ers. We are always fighting and we're always exciting. We are the 49ers. We're the red and the golden. We will never fold them.
$1 million backfield. Y.A. Joe the Jet. John Henry Johnson. Hugh the King was the best. Buck Shaw coached the team. Navalini, he was me. St. Clair, eight Ronnie Fiali. It was oh so sweet. Gordy Sosa, Billy Wilson, eight Wilson, J.D. Smith. Bruce Posey, Hazelton. Charlie Cruz. Tommy Hart, Wilcox, played their best as a team, but never realized their dream. Things were looking mighty lean, and Eddie D bought the team.
We are the 49ers. We are always fighting, and we're always exciting. We are the 49ers. We're the red and the gold, and we will never fold them.
Bill Walsh had a scheme. Joe Montana led the team. Mike Hart, Ronnie Lott, Dwight Hicks, Randy Cross, Fred Turner, Williamson, Eric Wright took them all by surprise with a vision in their eyes. Playoff time had finally come. We beat the Giants like a drum. The Jets by Clark saved the day. What else do we have to say?
We are the 49ers. We are always fighting and we're always exciting. We are the 49ers. We're the team they all want to be, the team of the century.
Super Bowl 16, Hacksaw Worship, Dan Bunce, Cooper, Schumann, Homer, Billy Ray. Super Bowl 19, McIntyre, John Ayers, Kiwi Board, Mike Wilson, Craig Tyler, Bubba Parrott. Super Bowl 23, 24, we want more. Swolo, Rathman, Harris, Barton, Fuller, Jones, Steve Waller, Keeper Rice, JT, Steve Young, Bar None. Super Bowl 29, we're the first team to win five.
We are the 49ers. We are always fighting and we're always exciting.
About that song is I'm watching Skype. I got Omizi on Skype, and he's over there dancing to that song. Put his little red and yellow, his red and gold towel wrapped around him. But woo, 49ers.
Man, that's the longest song ever. I'm had to do a reduced version of that song. That's the 20 minute version.
Look, let me tell you now, Omizi. Let me tell you now. The whole clique, as far as I know, the whole clique in all of Sick With It Camp is part of the 49er cavalry. You guys love the 49ers.
No, really just me, Muzzy, and 4-0, Cavio and Tap and them. They Raider fans, you know me? But, you know, we ride.
What
we
about
ride
Felix
Sid?
I think Felix Sid is on the Niners, too.
Yep, I believe so.
Yes, and so... So
he go to more Raiders games, so he been going to a whole bunch of. He might be a Raider fan, just to be all the way real.
I think most of the Niner fans go to more Raider games because they're funner. If that's a word,
I don't know about that now. I don't know about that now after them fighting, because you know next time they go to Oakland, it's gonna be on. Well, do we play you guys in Oakland at all?
No, not for another 4 years.
Oh, okay, good. Because it was gonna be some kind of slaughter if that would have unfolded. You know, because you know, I feel like they had the Raiders in their home territory, so they was outnumbered. The Raider fans that was getting mopped up.
Well, let me tell you, as ambassadors of the Bay Area, I would say that you, E40, Muggsy, and Be Legit need to come together and have Droopy put a beat down and do a real 49er song, because that is ridiculous. That's your 49er song right there. And then there's a whole bunch of little.
Yeah, but I'd rather you play that. Just play Primetime song, his solo song. You feel me? I don't think it had nothing to do with football, but it was Primetime. Play that one when he made that album, and that'll just be respectful of it. But that song's cool. That's, you know, I don't vouch for it, but it was a cool song. You feel me?
That's old school 49ers stuff. Those are for the real true.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, I say it all the time. You know, as far as football is, and my team is concerned, 49ers is concerned, as long as we beat the Raiders in that preseason game and get bragging rights, there's a whole bunch of people that's going to be able to enjoy the rest of this football season because our team did what they were supposed to do. And I thought it was going to be more, even though we sucked and we looked bad and everything doing it, but we scored more than 3 points. That don't make no sense. That was sending shockwaves and worries and ripples and, you know, all type of destruction patterns towards my way as a Raider fan if I just allowed the Niners to just do that like that. No disrespect to whoever is a fan, but it is what it is. And we are glorious. Vainglorious.
Yeah, Vainglorious.
Vainglorious.
By the red, black, and the gold.
And the gold.
Vainglorious.
Yeah, Vainglorious. Still the preseason.
So, what did you watch?
It don't
that?
Matter.
Did you see the game? Gail is on the phone. Sweet Gail, did you watch the game?
What was that?
Did you watch the game,
no.
Sweet Gail?
No, I don't do much with sports. Well, I read that men need sports as a release for their stress.
All right. So, Mike, how'd you like the game?
So that is true. That is true. There's truth
to
that.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Because we gladiators, you know, the real ones, we gladiators, you know, we got to have that support. You need that release.
I didn't get a chance to watch the game that much, unfortunately.
Were you working yesterday?
Yes, I was. So maybe
I didn't get to see none of it because you know we was out in Norway. We was, shout out to Oslo, Norway, and Bodø, Norway. We was out there for a festival and we had another club. Our TV was pretty jacked up. They don't get no ESPN, none of that in our hotel room. So basically, I found out about it when Camacho sent me the text after I turned my phone on, getting off the plane from that 11-hour flight from Frankfurt, Germany. I turned my phone on and I seen I owe you $20. So I was like, I just got to America and I'm making money already. This is by coastal, man. You know, it's good, but man, I am lightweight tired, but it's good, dog, because I got my wife, she's driving, so I'm in, you know, like the Maybach, I'm gonna be, you know. Hey, you know what I'm saying? So it's good. I'm trying to multitask.
Well, check it out. We got a good show today. Gail, we're going to be talking about the California penal system. My cousin.
Oh, yeah, but I wanted to ask you, how did the show go Saturday? Did you all go to that show you put on Saturday?
Who, Mike?
Mike and you guys, you were talking about some guy who was going to do a show on Saturday.
Oh,
and so I want to put.
Oh, we're gonna go to the Art and Jazz Festival on Sunday, but in Oakland, I ended up having a cousin reunion, a family reunion with my cousins.
No, there was some kind of a show you were going to Saturday.
Yeah. No, we didn't do it. All right, so check it out. We're gonna move into our hip hop classic, and then I got a good one for you guys today, and then from there. We're gonna talk about. I got my cousin on the phone now. He just tuned in there, so hang in there, and we're gonna get right back to you, buddy.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have fun.
Oh man, we got a good show, and this is gonna bring a lot. This is gonna show the diversity of our show, because last week we had Fred Hammond. We went all gospel. This week we're gonna talk about the penal system, and then we're going to talk about whatever else we always talk about. So if you want to call in, check it out.
If you have something to say, call right now, 714-694-4150.
Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio.
Yeah, get that number down because you're going to want it. You're going to want it. Let me find this. Here we go. This hip-hop classic right here. Soul Kitchen Radio. Give us a call right now.
Here's another hip-hop classic taking you back to the old school on Soul Kitchen Radio. On Soul Kitchen Radio. On Soul Kitchen.
Radio, we're back again. It's Rick Camacho, Omizi, Misha, Gail is on the phone. Everybody's here today.
Yeah.
What's going on, fellas? That's how is that for a flashback, man? Don't you love these flashbacks?
That's that Gangstar, right?
That's that Gangstar. That's that like 1990 something. These are the words
rest
that I manifest.
Peace. Rest in peace, Gangstar.
Man, rest in peace, Guru, definitely.
Oh, I love Grand Poo. Grand Poo, I had swag before it was fag. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Grand Poo with that Lambo, he had stupid swag.
Grand Poo is definitely one of the best. And I think we might flash back to one of them maybe next week or something. We're gonna definitely get it. So right now, who I got on the phone, we're gonna talk about it's SB9. Let me read this before I put him on the phone. California Senate Bill 9 is expected to be voted upon Monday, August 22nd, which is today, or sometime shortly after the date. This is a law that gives prisoners that were convicted of life without possibility of parole while they were minors to be able to petition for recall and resentencing to the sentencing court after 15 years of incarceration. So basically, it's like a 16-year-old who commits murder because, you know, he's trying to impress his boys or something. You know, 15, 20 years later, he's gonna think about it. He has time to let it soak into his soul and rehabilitate himself. What do you think about that, Omizi?
Man, I think, first of all, the penal system needs an overhaul anyway, you know what I mean? But it's like, especially if you got arrested when you was like 16, 17, you know, real young, 13, 14, 15, really didn't know exactly what you was doing, but you still end up, for some reason or another, getting a big sentence, like 20 years, 30 years and all that. And then, you know, any 10, 15 years in the penitentiary will change anybody, and especially when you're that young and you're still learning, your brain is still learning. Here goes a fun fact, though, that I just found out as far as Norway is concerned. Do you know that regardless to the crime, that the most time that you can get sentenced in Norway is 20 years? So even that dude that went and killed all the people,
right,
the most he can get sentenced is 20 years, unless it's like some super over court, like the main, all the heaviest courts override it, which usually never happens. But, you know, that's just crazy. Like, people be getting, like, 20 years, you know, getting triple and double life sentences and shit, which don't make no sense. You know, because if you get life without the possibility of parole, that's it. It's over. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so I don't
right.
know why. And we just be saying these highfalutin sentences, you know, like, you're giving somebody 75 years. It's like, damn, 75 years is over. Like, it's a rip.
It's a wrap. Man. So,
but you know what, I went to be honest, like, you know, some people learn, some people don't learn. Like, you know, I know you got your cousin on there, but it's like, when I was a youngster, man, when I was a juvenile, you know, I had, you know, using shoplifting and using a dangerous weapon and destruction of property and all this kind of little dumb shit. But, you know, and I only spent one day, like, not even a whole 24 hours, but, like, it was like 12 hours in Moita, which was in Ogden. It was in Ogden, Utah, and it was like it was correctional facility, but it was, you know, youth authority. Excuse me, that nobody wanted to go to, and that was all I needed, man. That was on, you know, and them telling me that, you know, if I do it over 18, then I was gonna, you know, take a chance on going, you know, stepping up to the big league and going to the pen. You know, fortunately, I didn't have no, you know, my father was in the penitentiary when I was a kid. You smell me? I was actually probably before I was born. That's when he became a Muslim. But, you know, I try to break the cycle. I believe in people breaking the cycle, man. Just
exactly.
Because your relatives,
yes.
Just because they went, you know, don't mean you got to follow. Because, you know, sometimes you get them dumbass uncles that be wanting to glorify.
Yeah, man, I was on the man yard, man. I was holding court, man. You know what I'm saying?
And you think that's cool? You're like, man, I want a whole court too.
Well, let me tell you, my cousin who's on the phone, and you know what? I'm gonna let him tell us what he was in for and all this stuff. Leonard Rubio, everybody, here he is on the phone.
Good morning, everybody out there.
And look, Leonard, the only reason I give you an applause today, first of all, because that picture you put on Facebook of me, man, that was crazy.
I didn't put that up. The wife did.
That's your wife, man. That's you. You control what your wife does. You guys should see this picture.
Man, I love that picture.
Facebook.
I look skinny next to you.
That was crazy. So you guys got to see it. But anyway, okay, Leonard, let's talk about SB9. First of all, tell everybody who you are, what you were in jail for, and how long you spent in jail. I want to let you go ahead and do that.
Okay.
It's all yours.
So I was convicted of second-degree murder at the age of 18 because I killed my girlfriend, and I spent 23 and a half years in prison. I first became eligible for parole in 1996, but because of the politics of the parole system, it took winning three different writs of habeas corpus because of border parole hearings was not following the law, and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was not following the law. And so it took a long time, but three different courts finally ruled in my favor, and I was released in 2010. So basically what I want to talk about today is that right now as we're talking, there's a group of people up in Sacramento at the State Assembly doing a day of hope, a day of reflection, and a day of action behind Senate Bill 9, the Fair Sentencing for Youth Act, that is sponsored by Senator Leland Yee.
And Leonard,
what's up?
Real quick, we got one of the senators on the line right now. Adam?
Cool, go.
Adam, go ahead.
Hi, this is Adam Kegwin, Senator Leland Yee's Chief of Staff.
Okay. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about the SB 9, what you guys are fighting for.
Sure. Well, this is a bill that Senator Yee has authored for the past several years, and every year we get a little bit further, but not quite to the finish line. Last year, the bill, while it passed the Senate, it died on the Assembly floor with 39 votes. That's two votes short of passage and getting it to the governor. But basically what the bill will do will give those individuals who were sentenced to life without the possibility of parole for crimes they committed when they were kids, it would give them a chance to go before a judge several years into their sentence to ask for a new sentence, to give them a new sentence of 25 years to life. And then after serving 25 years, get a chance to go before the parole board and ask to be released. Give them that one chance to say, you know what, I've changed my life. I'm no longer a threat to society. I shouldn't die here in prison. It's an incredibly humane bill. It's an incredibly modest bill. And Senator Yee is proud to author it, and we're hoping this week we can once and for all get this bill to the governor and get it signed into law so we can join every other country in the world who prohibits the sentence of life without the possibility of parole for our kids.
All right. So, Leonard, you got some – you want to add to that?
I mean, he hit everything right on the nose. I mean, no other country sentences kids to life without the possibility of parole. And as the other host was talking about, after you spend a couple decades incarcerated, you change. I mean, I can't sit and say that everyone does because there's some people that they choose not to. But a lot of us, if we decide to take the time to rehabilitate ourselves because the state's not really offering any help in that area, the individual has to do it for themselves, that opportunity is out there. And, I mean, just within the last month, statistics came out from the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation for California. And the general population recidivism rate, the people that go back to prison, is typically around 70% within 3 years of being released. Now, in the last 21 years, 988 individuals that have been convicted of first or second degree murder have been released. Of that, only 7 of them were convicted of new crimes.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you said
none of them.
21 years. This is a 21-year span. That's huge.
And of those that were sentenced to 25 years to life, which is what we're asking for in this bill, not one of them reoffended. Not one.
Oh.
Exactly.
Wow. So what we're seeing – what we're seeing on these shows that are going in that we see every day on National Geographic Channel, Locked Up and all that stuff, we're not seeing these lifers and we're not getting that out of that. So is there a chance that you guys could go after some of these shows to kind of show that?
Well, the individuals on those shows are not being paroled. I mean, if you look at the California Parole Board, it's one of the strictest in the country. You have to, you know, be, you know, one step short of sainthood in order to get out on parole if you had a life sentence. This parole board just doesn't let, you know, anybody that's going to recommit get out, and the statistics prove that out.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that statement fully. Unfortunately, though, one of the things that needs to be fought right now is a number of assembly persons and a number of senators are trying to sensationalize the Lifer situation
right.
behind what happened with Philip Garrido kidnapping J.C. Dugard and wanting to throw murderers in with these child molesters and rapists. And child molesters and rapists don't get life sentences.
That's right.
So this is it. Okay. Okay, first of all, what can people do? What can our listeners do to help get this bill passed if they feel like, you know, it's something they want to get passed?
Well, they should certainly call their representatives, especially their assembly members. Wherever they live, certainly they have the most influence over their own assembly members. But especially if they live in the following assembly members' offices who are on the fence right now, and we have not got a confirmation from them that they'll vote for the bill. And these are Democrats, mind you. We're not even trying to get even one Republican to vote for this bill. We just need 41 Democrats to vote for this bill. We have 51 in the Assembly. We just need all but 10 of them. And that's Assemblyman Aleo, Assemblywoman Bonilla, Assemblyman Chesbro, Assemblyman Dickinson, Assemblymember Hernandez, Assemblyman Block, Assemblywoman Buchanan, Assemblyman Calderon, and Assemblywoman Campos, and Assemblyman Perea. Those are our targets. If we can get even half of those, this bill will become law.
Wow. You know, I would say something like me personally, and Omizi, I don't know. Omizi, when's the last time you've called your senator, or Mike, when's the last time you guys called a senator? Never?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think I ever have.
So basically what I'm saying is I think I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just the mass people that are into politics that actually call senators and stuff. That's a big thing. I've never called a senator. I wouldn't even know what to say. I don't even know how to get a phone number for the senator.
Well, if you go to assembly.ca.gov, you can look up your assembly member. And you could look up those names that I just mentioned to you. All their phone numbers are there. Call their capital offices in Sacramento. Anybody can call. You don't have to live in their district, and just tell them you support SB9 and you urge them to support the bill. And the person on the other line will take your name, and that will get passed on to the assembly member.
Okay. So it's as simple as that. Go ahead, Omizi.
Are there any kind of stipulations and criteria? Like, you know, a lot of people incarcerated, they like to mess it up for the people that really, the youngsters that may really want to make a change, because, you know, they know, well, if I take this program and this program and this program and game the system, that, you know, I'll probably look good to the parole board, and they'll let me out. So everybody going up there has the same criteria. They all went to this program and this program and this program, and now they look so good that, you know, they look just like this person that's really sincerely trying to get out and not trying to game the system. So what are some of the criteria that you put on these youngsters, like getting your GED and things like that? Are those things that accelerate their opportunity when they do the bulk of their time? Or is there something like that they can be doing? Because some people just go and they don't do nothing. They just, you know, they try to get in the system and just survive. You know, they're too busy trying to survive than trying to just put themselves in a position where, okay, when I get out, I can get a job, and I can't, and I don't go back to my same hood where 9 times out of 10, if I'm out on parole, I might violate the same day because I'm going to get in the car with somebody that got some marijuana in the car, or he going to get pulled over because he don't got a license, and that's an instant year, I'm back. So because in my opinion, the stack is so far against, you know, so it's against you being able to stay free for 5 years or what have you. You know, you may be good for a year, but something's going to happen. It's going to be some kind of fluke, like T.I., just a fluke, you know, just some fluke. Oh, it's something in your cup or something. So, like, what's the stipulations that's going to help a person, even if he does get out, not go back on a violation?
Well, there's no doubt that we need to do more to help those that are released. In terms of gaming the system while they're in the prison system, for these individuals sentenced to LWOP, you know, it's not going to happen. They're not going to be able to game the system, because those that are given LWOP aren't given any services. They aren't given rehabilitative services. They really do need to do this all on their own. And the reason they're not given rehabilitative services, although we, you know, Senator Yee wishes they would, you know, we lock them up and we throw away the key. They're never getting out when they get an LWOP sentence. So why invest in them at all? You know, and so what they need to do in order to get the LWOP sentence changed to 25 to life, these juvenile offenders under SB 9, they need to show that they did other things, that they stayed in touch with their family, that they earned their GED, that they found religion, that they did something that shows, you know what, I'm trying to do better with my life. I'm doing everything I can. And if I were to get that 25 to life sentence, I'm certainly going to make myself amenable to those rehabilitative services that become available if you have the possibility of parole. But unfortunately, these LWOP situations, they don't have any of those services whatsoever. So they're not going to be able to game the system. They're going to have to show, you know, what they're truly doing and why they deserve a new sentence.
I'd like to address that gaming issue as well. Basically, I hear what you're saying about people going and taking this program and that program and then saying, see, that looks good. But the reality of it is, the commissioners of the Board of Parole hearings, they're not stupid. They know what's up. They know what the programs are about. And they'll start asking questions to make sure that someone actually knows it, because there are a lot of people that do try to go to these programs. I've seen cats going to 12-step programs for over a decade. They go into a board hearing, and the board hearing asks them, well, what's step four? And they can't even answer. So it shows that they're not prepared. They have to know and live what they're doing to rehabilitate themselves. If they don't, it's going to be a game, and it's going to be out in the open. And as far as guys getting out, there are support services out there, but an individual has to want to stay out. Right? I've been out for 18 months now. I haven't had no run-ins. I'm going to school. I'm trying to do what I can. It's up to the individual.
Right. Well, let's just say, like, you know, I'm watching on TV, and they're showing the Raider-Niner game, and they're showing people fighting in the stands. Now, you in the audience, you on parole. Let's say you on parole, right?
Yeah.
You on parole, right? Okay. So you're sitting there watching the game, trying to enjoy yourself. Next thing you know, somebody behind you punch you in the back of the head. At an instinct, you turn around and punch that dude in his face. You defending yourself, but you don't have that. You can't defend yourself, right?
Don't have that option.
If you turn around and punch somebody in the face, even though he punched you in the back of the head, you're going back for about a year, right? Or whatever the stipulation is on your sentence. So I'm saying, Even if you do get out, there must be, even with the parole officers, there must be like some kind of leeway. Like, this it's automatic. If you turn around and punch me, you're gone. That's just point blank.
I just feel
that the system, even if you get them out, there still must be a better way to judge on a case by case, situation by situation, as to does this person need to go back on a violation, or was this incident something that, you know, was, you know, a minor situation that maybe we don't throw him right back in after everything, you know, we done passed the bill and now we got all these people that's getting out and they only getting out for like 6 weeks or 2 weeks or a day. You know, let's figure out how we can get a team of parole agents and parole officers and what have you that, you know, don't say get them back in the prison system first. Let's see, you know, judge on a case by case basis. That's my point.
Which also, you know, speaks to, you know, the problem with gang injunctions. I mean, here you could have somebody that isn't even allowed to go to a neighborhood, yet that's where their support system is. That's where their family is. That's where their job may be. That's where they're putting their lives back together, and yet they happen to be in the wrong neighborhood and they get sent back to jail. I mean, you're absolutely right. There needs to be changes in some of our laws and some of our policies to ensure that, you know, people that are doing the right thing aren't heading back to jail.
Yeah. Right. Like, if you can put it like this, let's say if you can, as a criminal, get sentenced and you get, you know, get sent from, let's say you get arrested in Sacramento, if you get sent or get sent to a penitentiary that's away from you, which some people don't want to because, you know, their family won't be able to visit, But if you can get out and get parole in that area that you don't know nobody, then you'll probably have a better chance because you can start anew. You can reinvent yourself. You can come anew. You know what I mean? You don't have those same hindrances attached to you as you would if you were in San Quentin, you get arrested, you're from the Bay, then you get out of San Quentin and you go right back to the streets. 9 times out of 10, if something unfolds, you're going right back. So that's what I'm saying. The chips are so far stacked against you that, yeah, you're fighting for people to be able to get out, but what are you having them get out to? And what is the chances, you know, what is the lenient chances that you can put out there to say, okay, this was an incident in which he was accosted. Maybe we can give him a chance or a three-strike parolee or something like that. You know, like I think maybe a three-strike parolee, but depending on the grade of the charge. You know what I'm saying? What do you think about that?
Is that for me?
Who are you addressing that to?
Anybody, any one of you guys. Probably Adam.
There shouldn't be an automatic you go back to prison no matter what the scenario is and the situation is. There should be a review, and, you know, we need to consider, you know, all the facts. And, you know, while we should be tough on crime and we should be tough on those that are repeat offenders and that sort of thing, you know, we need to be reasonable about it. And unfortunately, you know, oftentimes that's just not the case.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Let me reset real quick. We got Adam, who is Senator Leland Yee's chief of staff. He's on the phone. Also, Leonard Rubio spent 23 years in San Quentin, is on the phone. We're talking about SB9, California Penal Code, or SB9, which reverses a life without parole sentence for juvenile offenders to give them a 25 to life sentence. So if you want to call in, 714-694-4150, give us a call. We're going to be right back. And you guys stay on the phone. Adam, are you going to be able to hang in for another 5 minutes?
Yeah, I can say 5 more minutes. That's fine.
Okay, hold on. We'll be right back. We're going to get into some of this new music real quick, and then we'll be right back. So check it out, Soul Kitchen Radio.
Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio. Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio. Soul Kitchen Radio.
What's up, this is Sean Jackson. You listen to Soul Kitchen Radio with Brian.
All right, Soul Kitchen Radio. Now we're back. I just wanted to play that real quick, just to reset everything. Not going to play any music because we want to keep this one going. So Leonard, SB9, you're talking about it goes. What is Senate Bill 391? What does that have to do with this?
Senate Bill 391 doesn't have anything to do specifically with SB9. But what Senate Bill 391 does, there's a lot of politicians right now, especially Senator Ted Gaines out of Roseville, Assemblyman Jim Nelson, who used to be a member of the Board of Parole Hearings, and Assemblywoman Susan Bonilla out of Concord, that are all putting this thing forward, and they're wanting to use the situation with Philip Garrido kidnapping J.C. Dugard and holding her for 17 years. They're wanting to use that to put fear in the public about needing to change the legal system as far as paroling of life prisoners. Now, the reality of it is, in 2009, out of the general population parolees that were released, 149 of them were convicted of murder and sent back to prison with life sentences for murder.
Wow.
But in the past 21 years, out of 988 people sentenced to life with the possibility of parole, either 15 to life or 25 to life, not one of them committed a sex crime or murder, homicide of any sort since being released. Most of these people are in the community and giving back, working with youth centers, working with victims' rights groups, and just doing what they can to give back to the community. But what is happening is these senators and assembly people, they want to be able to look tough on crime because they got elections coming up. and they see this as an easy target. So they want to hype it and say, oh, these child molesters and rapists and murderers, but the reality of it is the child molesters and rapists are not getting life sentences. It has nothing to do with life sentences unless they're convicted of a kidnap to go with it. And what they're trying to do is undermine a court decision from the California Supreme Court in 2008, Henry Sandra Lawrence, who showed that the parole board was violating the law by saying that so Penal Code Section 3041 says that a prisoner shall normally be found suitable for parole at their initial parole consideration hearing unless they are deemed a threat to society. And what the Board of Prison Terms did under people like Assemblyman Jim Nelson was say that because of the original crime, we still feel you're a threat to society, and didn't care what the individual did the whole time they were incarcerated. They just said, because of the crime, you're still a threat. And the reality of it is, the crime is never going to change. And that's one of the things I had to fight and why I was held 14 years beyond my minimum eligible release date, right, because they wanted to continue to say the crime was the reason that I was still a threat to society. And it took three courts saying, no, that's not the case anymore. He has gone far beyond needing to be rehabilitated. He's rehabilitated himself. It's time to release him. And so they're they're basically wanting to hype and put fear in the public, and they're using the media for it in order to put fear in the public, lie to the public about what's going on, to change the court order so that the board can go back to denying people solely for the crime. And one more piece of it that they don't talk about is, like, right now, you have about 10,000 term-to-life prisoners in prison that are eligible to be released. Now, if you look at the statistics of what it's costing to keep prisoners in California each year, you're talking that 10,000 people equates to over $600 million a year that is being spent for people that are eligible to be released. They're also talking about how they need to release people because of the overcrowding lawsuit. Well, they're not wanting to release the lifers because the public is in fear when they hear the term murderer.
We have to use a scalpel and not a machete to reduce the deficit.
Right. But the reality of it is what they have done is for the people that have what they call nonviolent offenses, they've put them on unsupervised parole. They don't even have to see a parole officer anymore. Well, those are the same people that are part of the 70% recidivism rate within 3 years of being released. Those are the same people that don't have to do anything while they're incarcerated except their sentence. They get out, they go back to doing the same criminal behavior, and they go right back to prison. Nothing is being done to deal with that situation.
I believe that no one is, there's no such thing as a thought police. Like, you can't read the minds of these other convicts to see exactly if, like I was saying, if you had to, if I was on the board of parole board, and I was to ask everybody that every violent criminal that came in, if you were at a football game and somebody accosted you, would you turn around and hit that person? I guarantee you 99% would say, well, you know, instinct-wise, I would have to do that. So that would automatically take you off the list, you know, because you still have a violent tendency to protect yourself, which everyone has a tendency to want to protect themselves. But like I said, parolees don't have the right to defend themselves. So I still say that you could put all the bills together that you want, but you still can't read the psyche of a human being when he's forced to do certain things. Like if I came to penitentiary because I was starving and couldn't eat, and then you put me back in the streets and I'm starving and I can't eat, and I don't have no training, or it's bad enough a person that's already on the streets can't get a job. Now you're saying you're gonna parole me to a place where I can't get no job, and you know, and I'm gonna have to get some SSI or some kind of general assistance to survive, and I had to find a job, and if I don't find a job, then I got to go back. So it's like the system itself has to be fixed regardless to how many bills you put together, because you know, just like the military. You bring the military home from Iraq and Afghanistan, but then you have to put them to work because they're going to have – because, you know, so it's like, I don't know, there's so much stuff going on now and coming into 2012 election that we had to deal with. And like you said, you're paying this person three hots in a cot. His, you know, he got his full benefits as far as anything. He, you know, any glasses or, you know, his back hurt, anything like that, you go to the infirmary and get it dealt with, and people on the streets can't just do that. So it's like you have to fix the system itself as opposed to, oh, I got life and now I want to be. Do you really want to be out in the streets now and have to find a job? No. You might want to wait 3-4 more years when the economy gets a little better, so when you get out, there's more possibilities for you because you're not in there getting any school and you lock down 23 hours a day. You know what I'm saying? So anybody that's locked down 23 hours a day and they really don't have, they don't watch television, which means they don't have a perspective of what's going on out in the real world and knowing how bad it is. Yeah, it's election year. Yeah, I want to put forth a bill to make me look like I'm doing something. But at the same time, I'm trying to pad my credentials when I'm not looking at the problem in and of itself. That is the penal system by itself. You understand?
I agree with you on most of those points, but one of the things when it comes to lifers is, like Adam talked about, you have to be near sainthood. One of the requirements in order to be released is to be able to show that you have some kind of an employable skill or that you have a job offer. When I went to the board, I had 12 different offers for job interviews upon release. I had companies that wanted to hire me because while I was inside, I made sure I participated in vocational trades to make sure I was prepared for release. Unfortunately, what's happening now, though, is the state of California, in an effort to try and save money, they're eliminating a lot of those vocational programs. But it's still on the individual to show that when it comes to a lifer, they have to show that they have a residence they can go to where they're going to be able to get food and clothing and all of that. And they have to show that they have some kind of opportunity for either employment or school. It's not a matter of like a regular.
And that's exactly.
It's not like a regular parolee where a regular parolee, they just kick out the door, and that's it.
Right, but you've just eliminated a big chunk of the people who got incarcerated because they didn't have that. So now there's an elitist system, as to say, okay, well if I come from a well-to-do family, or if I, you know, then I'm instant, because I know for a fact, you know, because I got parents that or grandparents is rich, and they're going to let me come stay there, even though I did this, that, and the third, because my financial systems, my finances are a little bit better than this person, even though this person may be a good person, but the opportunities for him to learn a trade aren't there, then he can't get out. He don't qualify for that. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. The system itself needs to be fixed before you can just say, oh, this privileged person, or, you know, and privilege, I mean, anybody who went to jail, obviously they sold dope because they were trying to feed themselves or family or whatever. Maybe they just liked it, but whatever the case may be, 9 times out of 10, it's not having finances or not having graduated high school and what have you is the reason why they chose the life of crime. And because of that, the effect is when I get in, not to mention the fact that, okay, not me personally, but I've seen somebody that got arrested and then he had to pay restitution. His restitution was like $50,000, $60,000 that he has to pay back, period. How can someone pay $60,000 in restitution when he doesn't even have an education and he doesn't have a trade? He's gonna be, even if he has 20 years, he's still in the system, period, for the rest of his life. So he might as well have life, regardless if he gets out for a year on the streets and then go right back. So we're trying to keep him. Let's figure out how to keep him out for 20 years. I want you to be out for 30 years, 40 years, 50. You know what I'm saying?
For the rest
and
of your
never
life.
My cousin picked me up. I'm in the back. I'm going to work. He's smoking some weed. I get pulled up. We get pulled over. Now I'm violated. I'm going back. But that right there is enough to say the system itself needs to be fixed.
Well, there's nothing we can do.
You don't have an argument for me on that.
Yeah, you know what? There's nothing we can do about the system right now. It's like, I mean, all we could do is we could focus on this SB9 and you know, hit it one bill at a time. You know, maybe one day the whole thing will, maybe one day something else will come around and you know, I don't know. As far as this is my personal issue.
Camacho, you know what I need. I say, this is my personal opinion. You know, because you know, I lived in Utah, Ogden, Utah, and I seen a bunch of people, you know, that were from LA and whatnot. They were getting shipped there through the Job Corps. You know, I say that a lot of money from the state feds needs to go to the Job Corps, and a lot of these people that's getting sentenced to prison need to get sentenced to the Job Corps. Or, you know what I'm saying, so that they can learn a trade, whether it be engineering, structural engineering, because they're saying that's where the jobs are going to come from. So it's like, you know, instead of being locked up, you know, you big, burly, massive man that could lift thousands of pounds, instead of doing all that, let's go put him and make him and have him build some bridges, you know what I'm saying, where he'll feel good about himself because he can earn a paycheck, a righteous paycheck, and not a dollar a day through penal slave labor, which still exists. You know, it's like I said, the system is corrupted. The system needs to be fixed before you just say, let's get these people out and offer them nothing and offer them Social Security.
That's the worst thing about the prison system is that when they come out, they can't work because nine companies out of 10 aren't hiring felons. You know, and that's something that we always are going to struggle with for right now. And it's hard to say that it's up to that one person to go out and get his own job, make his own, be an entrepreneur, you know. And Leonard is on the right track because when he was in, he already had his mind set that if he ever gets out, he's going to be on the right track. But I can tell you, most of those guys in the penitentiary are like, fuck, it sucks. I'm never going to see my family again. I give up. You know, whatever's gonna happen, whatever. And then, one day they come out and say, "Hey, you're released." Then what do you do?
Right. Come on, I seen a movie a long time ago when I was a kid. Well, I'm gonna say a long time ago, but it was Tony Danza. He played a convicted. He played a convicted felon that that became a lawyer while he was incarcerated. And I'm talking about he did everything. He became a lawyer. Like he defended other prisoners. Yet even after serving 20 years, he still couldn't get parole. This dude, I'm talking about, he made a complete change, a 360, and they denied him over and over and over again. Yeah, it was a violent crime.
How often have you seen that, Leonard?
No, that's happening all the time. It's like Adam said, in order to get out from the parole board as a lifer, you got to be almost the same. They're not just letting anybody out. And the guys that are letting out, like me, they've had a mindset that, you know what, I'm going to prepare myself for when I get out so that I don't come back. What does happen is a lot of guys, especially people that don't have life sentences, they go in and they want to play cards, they want to watch TV, they want to sleep, they'll get a job as a sweeper on the tier, and they don't do anything to increase their mind, they don't do anything to prepare themselves, and that's why they go back to the same thing they were a part of when they came in. A lifer has to show that they've made changes. It's not just you're going to get out and there's nothing for you. And it's like the point he brought up about people coming from a wealthier background. That doesn't necessarily help. And when it comes to lifers, again, there are situations out there. There are a lot of programs that are willing to accept lifers to be able to reside there, to participate in different programs such as substance abuse issues, violence prevention, things like that. There's like five or six of them just in the Oakland and Berkeley area where guys could come out. They've got a place to live. They don't have to pay rent. They have some place where they've got food and shelter. They've got programs to support them while they're going through the process, and they have an opportunity to come up. They're not just thrown out and say, okay, here's $200. Go do what you got to do. It's not like that for life.
Right. Hey, let me shout out at Life's Comedy. Shout out Leonard's wife, Allie, at Life's Comedy on Twitter. Follow her at L-I-F-E-S Comedy. She's tweeting this whole conversation as we speak. So shout out to Allie, man. She's doing a good job. And she talks about it's not just the system that needs to be changed. It's the communities that need to prepare to get prepared for these guys coming out of prison, you know, with open jobs, with how Obama said it, shovel-ready jobs. You know, they don't have to be in a position where there's so many other jobs. They could go pave the street or you know anything else that doesn't have to do with getting mixed up with people all the time. Maybe is that what it is? They just don't want lifers and stuff to get mixed up with civilians? Is there like a difference there?
I wouldn't say there's a difference. It's a fear.
Right. I mean, just kind of like what Omizi was talking about, the whole football game situation. If you know, it's almost like if you go to a game, you have to protect you and your family. But if you do that, then you're going to go back to jail. So it's like the best way to do it is just watch the game on your 52-inch TV at home, the red zone.
Right. I mean, you've got to do what you got to do to keep yourself safe.
And I got to say, let me tell you guys, first of all, I got to give Leonard much props. Leonard is my first cousin. I remember the day he committed his crime. I remember I was one of the first ones to go see him in the jail at the county jail in Vallejo, you know, and it was such a sad day for our family when that happened. But Leonard always stayed, you know, he stayed as high as he could on the whole thing for the whole time he was in. Every year, everybody in our family would get a letter saying, look, I'm going up for parole. Can you write me a letter? I'm going up for parole. Can you write me a letter? I have so many letters still around my house from Leonard that, you know, I don't know if everybody in the prison system is doing that stuff.
They absolutely are not doing that. That's why even like some of the rappers were paying for a lot of the family members who couldn't make it to certain places to catch a bus and go visit on Thanksgiving or go visit on Christmas, because if they don't, then either they can't afford it, they can't afford to accept those phone calls when you call them because it costs too much. You know, you don't want them to have no cell phones, so you ban that, but you want them to be with people on the other end who are going through their own economic situations to be able to accept that phone call at, what, $2 a minute or something? I don't know what it is, but it's like, you know, like I said, the chips are stacked against the criminal, which they should be, because at the end of the day, you're a criminal. So shit,
yeah,
is,
I mean,
what it is.
Yeah, I don't agree.
I mean,
I agree with that.
And you know, my name is Omar, so I'm a keeper of the law, Sharif. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, I have a family. So if somebody came up to my dwelling and tried to steal something, I'd take their top off. It's just what it is. But I feel like you shouldn't take from other people, and you should get a job. But I have seen the worst of situations, and I know sometimes you have to do what you have to do, because, you know, life in general is real. We are all human, and we are all fallible, you know, and we crack under pressure sometimes. Even the biggest CEOs, when I watch American Greed, they end up getting 20 years and 30 years. So it's not, you know, it's not, oh, he's from the hood. He was born with a silver spoon, and he still got convicted of a crime. You know what I'm saying? You know, like our Vice President Cheney shot his friend with a shotgun. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't do no time. But Jason Williams shot a limo driver, and he's locked up right now. He's locked up.
But Plaxico Burress shot himself and got 2 years.
You know, that's only because, but he lied about it. So it's like justice is nowhere near balanced if you don't have money. So it's an economical, social, you know, problem that has to be dealt with. And if we don't deal with that, then you can let them all of them out. You can start the walk free program tomorrow. Okay, if you did this, okay, now you out. Now you just out, and everybody's scared. Everybody knowing, especially if you a rapist or you rape somebody or did something like that. Oh, we letting all these people out. Now we activating, protesting, and saying we don't want this person in our community. So we don't want this person in our community. Where is they? So now they got to go stay under a bridge somewhere and get benefits. That's going to, you know, usurp from the state to take care of this person who's living under a bridge, getting general assistance, because we don't when he gets out, we're not saying, oh, let's put him through Job Corps, let's have him build the bridge that he's sleeping under. You know what I'm saying? There's, you know, we just put him out. Oh, I'm free. What is that? That's good for a year, 2 years, maybe three. God willing,
maybe we
five.
Maybe we should build one of those big project housing project things like at New Jack City, and just put them all in
the
there.
Carter.
Yeah, the Carter. Put them in the Carter.
That's not
going to
work.
And rape each other and just leave it there. Put a big fence around it. That's, but with no prison guards. Just let them have
fun. You got a whole bunch of people who are convicted felons who can't associate with convicted felons.
Right.
So what are you going to do? Wear a scarlet letter? You're going to wear a bracelet that says, "Don't sit next to me, I'm a convicted felon." And if you do, you run the risk of getting violated. You know what I'm saying? it makes no sense all around. So, you know, with either one of the bills, I hope that there's something written in it that brings, you know, bring to bear, because maybe there's other Democrats or Republicans that think just like me and say, yeah, I would like to have them have shorter sentences also. But do you think them having three hots and a cot, you know, whatever camaraderie they have with the other prison cellies and what have you, and them having health and dental and vision, you know, benefits. Now, how is that going to translate when they're free and they can't feed themselves and they can't,
right,
and they don't have health insurance and they don't, you know what I mean? So you're saying,
but that, again, changing the subject, because these are talking about lifer situations and they have to be able to show they have all that lined up. You're talking about regular parolees. You're not talking about lifers.
Yeah,
lifers have to have that lined up before they get out.
Yeah, this whole bill was talking about lifers, and the people, like Leonard was saying earlier, is the lifers are the ones that, if they get their stuff lined up, we're saying that instead of life without parole, give them to 25 years to life. Right? Is that it, Leonard?
I understand exactly where you're coming from, but I'm still saying They're still going to be, not even lifers. Okay, let's just deal with the lifers. They're still going to be put in a position that when they get out, they're still going to be on parole, and the situation in which they can easily go back is still going to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So
that
you can,
is there.
You fight for them
the
to get out.
From the past 21 years have shown only 13 out of 988 have ended up being convicted of new crimes. They have the lowest recidivism rate of anybody.
That's good, but that should just mean they were smarter. I know people that put in serious demonstrations and they never did any time. So who's the smartest? You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, after a while, you probably just figured out how not to make the same dumb mistakes that you made before.
And I think if you put it in plain layman's terms, that's exactly what this whole bill is. People who've learned to not make the same dumb mistakes, and they learn from their stupid mistakes that got them in there, you know, they should be able to come out, or at least go stand for a parole, you know, get their sentence changed, and then come out. I mean, if you put it in layman's terms, that's pretty much it.
Layman's terms is, like you said, you got to have family members writing letters, and if you don't have no family to write letters, you can't get out.
I mean, I don't know any of my family member that actually wrote a letter for Leonard. Did anybody write letters for Leonard?
There were a few people that did. Most of my letters came from people that I met while I was in prison, that they knew about the work that I was doing in the area of restorative justice and violence prevention and trying to educate other people, as well as the work I was doing in the church, that they're the ones that stepped up and wrote letters.
Yeah, because I can tell you the majority of my family was pretty much considered him a murderer, right? And was like, we're not going to support a murderer, and that's it. And that was plain. They didn't even think of him as, that's my nephew, that's my, you know, my cousin. That's how they thought. And I'm thinking that's how a lot of people think. And so he got most of his support from outside of the family, you know, besides his immediate family, his brothers and his mom and dad. But yeah, it wasn't, I could sit here from the inside of the family saying that, no, the support didn't come from inside the family. Is that right, Leonard?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you know. So it's pretty much what you do and how you create your own fate. In life is
right.
You got to create your own fate, you know. In life is what you make it.
Right. So it's like if I want to get accepted to a college, I get letters from certain people who have a certain standing in the community. If I want to be a doctor, I get this
right.
letter. If I want to, you know what I mean? So if I want to be a lawyer, I get these letters from these other attorneys. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't want to say gaming the system. It's just some people are blind to the fact, you know, and they may not even know, even if the bill is passed, they may not even know unless people go from prison to prison and say, hey, you know, this new bill, it says da 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 da. You know what I mean? Unless another prison attorney, you know, gets the information and start helping that person. And that person may be serving life and can't even get himself out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. That's you know, the system is kind of fucked up. I mean, we could just say it like that. The system is fucked up. People are what they are, and you know, you got to game the system. This is a capitalistic society where you have to go for yours. You know, Omizi, you want to be a dope ass rapper, you get with the best in the Bay Area and you travel. You know, if you were just some independent artist thinking, oh, I want to do this, you knew what you wanted to do, and you got on the bus and you did it. All right. And Mike wants to be a comedian. He's struggling every day. Every Tuesday, he's having his little five people come out to his open mic session, you know. But he's pursuing that, And life is pretty much what you make it. That's just the way it is. Leonard wanted to get out. He did what he had to do.
Right.
You know. So anybody out there that's listening,
I gotta get going, cuz.
Okay, man.
I got a job interview to go to right now, so I need to go handle my business.
Hey, at the end of the day, homie, stay free, boy. You know what I'm saying? Stay out the way.
Always.
Square up. If you know what I'm saying, if you in a situation, you know, like this one time, like I said, I was at the movies with my wife one time, you know what I'm saying, and some youngsters in the movie theater, and they was making a lot of noise, and there was a couple in the front, and my wife was like, you know, say something, and I was like, man, I'm not messing, man, leave them youngsters alone. And a white couple in front of me said something. He was like, shut up, bitch. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like choices. Just turn the other cheek. You got to do it because this is a hand that you have been dealt. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, you know, you got to walk on eggshells. You got to walk on the eggshells so you get off that paper, boy.
Yeah, definitely.
But
man,
even once I'm off the paper, I still got to keep my head strong.
Right. Yeah,
keep my head
on
up
top.
And not let
but
other
you still don't have, you don't have
that guillotine.
Right, you don't have that one step guillotine over your neck. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, I understand that.
Man,
all right. Well, I got to cut out. You guys,
Leonard,
thank you for the opportunity for letting me speak.
You know, plus he's a big boy like you, Omizi. So ain't nobody gonna mess with him anyway. He got them big shoulders. So they know.
Hey.
All right,
90% of it is walking like that.
Yeah.
All right,
so just one last thing is, again, about SB9, people need to try. I know most people don't call their senators and assembly people, but that needs to take place. One of the people that Adam mentioned was on the fence is Democratic Assemblywoman Susan Bonilla out of Concord, which is out of you guys' area.
Right.
So people need to call her and try and get her to open her eyes up and see, give these youngsters a chance. It's not a bill that's just going to let them out. It's a bill that if they've been doing the right thing, it gives them an opportunity to be heard.
Would it help
it's
if
the
you
right
send her
thing
flowers or give her a gift certificate to me, Pueblo?
Nah, don't do any of that.
Okay.
All right, peace out.
All right, Leonard.
At the end of the day, Camacho, I think at the end of the day, they should pass the bills so that at the end of the day, and give it to, like, hey, I just got a life sentence today. If I know that there's a bill that says if I do this, that, and the other, I can possibly get out, That'll tell me going in, I'm not going to join a gang. I'm not going to fall victim. From day one, as soon as I get my cell, I'm going straight to my schooling, my job, whatever I'm volunteering, whatever I got to do, I'm going to start that instantly, stay away from the people that I'm not supposed to be around. And I'm going to, you know, hopefully in 15, 20 years, you know what I'm saying, then I'll be able to make a move. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Man, that was a good hour and 15 minutes we spent on that topic.
Yeah, it was deep.
What did you guys just disappear? Where's Peter Parker? Are you listening to us? I don't know if we could hear us. Or anyways, Mike, how was that? You stayed quiet the whole time.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's better just kind of listen in, you know, hear what other people have to say. You know, you don't always have to chip in if you don't really have much more to say. I mean, he just said, you know, some deep stuff. So I'm like, all right,
that's cool. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about some football, and also Lil Wayne got hurt on a skateboard. We're going to talk about that. There's some more stuff in the news. I know, and especially Libya. Libya is
going down.
So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that stuff. I want to tell everybody who's listening, if you want your ad on Soul Kitchen Radio, send me something, soulkitchenradio1@gmail.com. But until then, I got to play stuff like this.
The following ad is a complete waste of time.
Attention, radio listeners.
Attention, this is Escuchando Soul Radio.
This is not a car ad. No truck, no RV, no SUV.
Not even a skateboard.
Because we've got nothing to sell. We just like to yell and use plenty of reverb. We even make up Spanish words.
No estado de Romero es amarillo.
But we don't sell cars.
And if you act now, it's our special offer to you. We'll throw in, with no strings attached, absolutely nothing.
No freaking to end another.
So call, go by, or visit your grandma as soon as possible.
Just don't come see us.
Because we don't sell anything.
Here's the part where we talk real fast so you don't know how bad you're getting screwed. With a quick credit, some restrictions may apply. Look both ways before crossing. Strip in the couch, just get before the hatch.
I got that drum. that we met all over. Who you
rolling with? Black bone, that boom boom round round, swallow the night. Put it in the air, put it in the light. Fly by like a duck, a die. Cause they say, didn't see no why. Ain't ready, wet with the butter on a tie. No lie. All night, and we don't care. Hands in the air, braids with the shades. Squares don't compare. I'm going dolly, dolly, rolly, rolly. Yeah, I'm rolling. And yeah, you better know it. If you don't, then get up on it already.
Brothers, Baby Bash, and Slim Thugger, right there. Soul Kitchen Radio, Macho, Omazy, Misha, we're back. And man, that was a good hour that we just went through with the California penal system, man. I knew you were the one for that one, Omazy, because you come with all the good stuff. You got all the good content, man, in your mind.
Man, it's all in there, man. I feel for a lot of the youth that's locked up, man, because I be watching I got a lot of folks. That's like my one of my artists, Young Spitzo, is locked up. He ain't got no life or nothing like that. But he was homeschooled. His mother gave him everything he wanted. He wanted to be a producer or a rapper, and she homeschooled him, and she did everything she was supposed to do. Worked hard, and he still got caught up because why? He's in them streets, and when you're in the streets, and peer pressure is a motherfucker. Just even in high school, just going to school, peer pressure. You can get girls to do whatever and boys to do whatever, to drink, smoke, whatever. Now imagine on the streets, where you got absentee parents and all they doing is kicking it with their folks, coming home at midnight and what have you, and then thinking that they're going to just go take a shower and go to school and play basketball and do their homework and all that. Man, that's just not going down. You know what I'm saying?
And man, that's crazy. So on the phone, finally, after like a four-week hiatus going through all this personal stuff, Gary Archer is on the phone, everybody. Gary Archer, thank you.
What's up, gentlemen?
What's up, player?
Hey, Gary. First of all, how was the backpack giveaway yesterday with Mr. Fab?
It was phenomenal. The fourth straight month successful peaceful event. We gave out close to 1,000 backpacks, about 950 back full school supplies. We fed probably about 600 families. Played about 13-15 games of basketball, and had about 27 police cars show up, act like it was some sort of riot going on, prison riot. It took us about an hour and a half to get the police to leave, but eventually they left. But, when they pulled up, they all jumped out their cars like in riot gear, hopping out arm to arm like wow. There was about to be some crazy. It was weird. It was like, so instantly, our instant, the way we've been trained in the streets is to instantly move away from the situation. Right. Now, me and Fab is trying to take a different approach. We address the situation. We instantly walk towards the police, instantly, which is right. You don't do, but we do, because we need to let them know how stupid they are for being here like that. So we went over there and started talking to the police, and it took a lot of convincing, man. They was like, oh, so you guys ain't got permits? Oh, we're going to have to shut this down. Oh, hold on, you ain't got this? And we're like, nah, we ain't got that, but we got 1,000 backpacks full of stuff, and we got food for 600 families that we're feeding right now. That's what we do got. What about that? You ain't asking about that. You're supposed to notify the city. Like, he's going through all these little loopholes and ladders trying to make us jump through these fire hoops, and we just let them know, if you want to shut it down, shut it down. This is what we're doing, though. And we'll be back next month doing the same thing. No permits, no nothing. And they was like, man. So then half of them left. They left six cars there. They put two on one side, two on the other side, two on the other side. They got out the car and they watched for about 30, 40 minutes. Then, they came. You guys got to turn the music off at 5:20. Oh, you can't have, neighbors complaining. We're like, all the neighbors are here. What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, what are you talking about? 5:20. Well, I'm like, if I was building a house, I'd be out here jackhammering until 10 at night. What are you talking about? I said, I ain't building a house. I'm building a community. We should be able to make as much noise as we want during the daytime. What are you talking about?
So you know
music?
You know what's really terrible, Gary? is on the news, all we seen this morning on the news was fights from the Raiders-Niners game. We didn't see nothing about the good community service that you and Fab did yesterday.
It's crazy. Only one news channel actually aired the footage. We think three or four came by, but only Channel 7, thank God for Channel 7, recognized the good news in Oakland, as well as Sean Kennedy's outlet, Good News in Oakland. They were there representing as well. They were there the whole day. And Channel 7 gave us some love last night and again this morning. We very much appreciate that because we know the news is not in business to tell good news. So we appreciate them going against their format to help us out, raise the awareness in our community. And, you know, and that's what it was. It wasn't me or Fab. It was a community effort. You know, we just happened to be the popular people that got the attention. But the community came together and made this happen. And not just North Oakland, the whole Bay Area. Maybe not as many from outside Oakland as we want. That's going to happen next time, but it's slowly growing. We had people from almost every city in there, all ages, kids from everywhere. And nothing's, man, D-Ray's putting up pictures now on the Twitter. Take a look, man. You see hundreds and hundreds of kids wearing a backpack, smiling, going through the backpack, showing each other what they got. It's like just that's what it's about, man. Kids don't even act like that way on the first day of school because, one, they show up, they ain't got no new clothes, they don't got money for lunch that day. First thing the teacher tell you is you need these supplies. You're like, damn, I couldn't even afford lunch. How am I going to get that? You know what I mean? And that's what we don't want kids to worry about. You know, first is the material to make yourself educated with or without school. Secondly, we're going to find a way to feed these kids every day. Right now, we're trying to educate them. And, hopefully some big corporations are going to wake up and recognize our influence and our power and maybe align themselves with us to try to help create better futures for the Bay Area and the West Coast.
No, you guys are the new Black Panthers. That's what I could call you because that's exactly what the Black Panthers was put together to do, you know. So,
that's kind of our motto in a sense of we don't care what rules we break as long as we're saving lives. And that's the mission we're pushing. Live and free. We don't care what rules we break as long as people stay alive. And, you know, everyone else is worried about the rules instead of the health and the lives. That cop didn't say nothing about the 2-year-old boy that just got shot the day before that or the 3-year-old boy that just got killed a week before that. That cop worried about permits. I'm like, man, you worried about permits. It's crazy. I said, there's more cops here than was at the shooting yesterday for the 2-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you talking about? And I said, the funny thing is if we would have called you, police would take you 2 days to get here. So whatever you're talking about, Mr. Officer, is crazy. Don't you have a sergeant that can come talk to us?
Yeah, that's just wow.
Man, we ain't scared of the police no more. Me and Fab and the way we do so much good in the real life, we don't break laws, man. I encourage police encounters with me because I'm ready to fight my place. I'm ready to go to jail, all that, because they can't keep me. I'm a community leader. I don't care what these dudes, no matter what they do, they ain't going to stop us. Because like I said, it's bigger than me and Fab. We got the next set coming.
That's it, right there.
You know what I mean? So you know, like I said, it all comes down to education for the police as well as for the community. I think the police need to be educated a little better on who's able to hold community meetings in a peaceful manner and who can't. What's a real gang? What's a gang injunction and what's a community injunction? Right now, they say it's a gang injunction, but they're really community injunction people. They're throwing everyone on that list and worried about it later. You have to fight the case to get yourself off the list. That's
right,
bullshit.
Right. You know that?
There ain't no steps they got to go through to put you on the list. They just had to see you one time in that neighborhood with the right person. Oh, you on the list. You ain't allowed there ever again. Like, whoa, what the hell? Oh, and unless your daddy got about $50,000 to fight this case to get you off that list. But, you know, exactly. that's the way the system throws charges at us. They throw charges at us to get us to plea. They're not throwing charges at us to get us to convict us. They want us to plea so they can say, look, I told you. He pled to that. You know what I mean? Nah, we can't afford to fight it, so we got to plea to it. It's crazy, and that's what we're changing. We're changing, you know, we're going to develop a system where we can help all these community people. Through laws, through lawyers, but starts with education, period. We've been lucky enough to be educated. And, you know, and we get dumb for a while, and it's time to grow up. You know, we understand our tactics led people maybe in the wrong direction, but we were just having fun. We had no idea the impact of the move was going to be.
That's real.
Definitely, man. That man, shout out to you guys for doing doing what you were doing, man, and he got cut off. But you know that was a big thing. Fab was putting that on Twitter a lot. Did you guys? I know you guys were out in Norway. So you couldn't do that. You guys even missed the Summer Jam, the 25th anniversary. Of course I missed it too. It's not the same without it being outside. You know, Summer Jam inside. So I know.
I just think earlier we was talking about you know, the thought police. You know, they want to be thought police. They want to try to prevent something from happening by saying, because there's a whole bunch of minorities together, I think that somebody is going to get hurt. Therefore, I'm going to convict the crowd before they even do anything. You have, because of your assembly, you have been convicted of maybe thinking of a fight breaking out. You know what I'm saying? So they just right. they would rather not deal with it and just cancel it than having a rational sergeant come in and look at the situation and say, as long as it's okay and nothing happens, then we'll allow it to continue. But if something jumps off, then we're going to have to stop it. So that's the approach that a sensible sergeant would have made if they would have stepped up, you know what I mean, and did the right thing.
Yeah, definitely. So
at least they let them keep it going. You know what I mean? Because if they don't, it's a double-edged sword. If they don't show up, then it's like, and if something happens, where are the police at? You know what I'm saying?
Right. It is.
Why was there no police here? You know what I'm saying?
I would say, you know, I wasn't really against the police showing up to the thing, but if they try to shut it down, then that would have been a different story. But the fact that he at least got a chance to talk to the police and it sounded like they got some police that kind of was like, okay, well, we understand. But their first reaction when they come out, he said they came out in riot gear and stuff. That's not cool. There's not a riot.
Some police are really just, at the end of the day, scary. Every police officer is not Dirty Harry. A lot of them are afraid, which is why they have a whole bunch of discharges. If they see you reaching for a lighter, they gonna squeeze because they blood. We not understanding when they pull a minority over. Well, you know, I don't just want to say minority, but when they pull somebody over, they heart is pumping. You know what I'm saying? They start sweating and carrying on. You know what I mean? So they as soon as they get out the car, they in fight or flight. They ready to squeeze at, you know.
Think about
they
it. That's a tough job. It's a tough job to be in. You got to think about your kids all the time because you might meet somebody who looks cool and just shoot you in the head, you know. And then your kids are fatherless, you know.
Yeah,
so
you know, one thing about Sacramento is it didn't used to be a whole bunch of people killing police, but that's starting to change as far as. There's a few people between here and Woodland that's either been shooting cops or shooting at cops, or you know what I'm saying, or they got the one cat that's going to court right now for killing a cop. You know what I'm saying? So it's like people are more brazen. They're not afraid of the police no more. Just like Gary said, you know, when the police came, he walked up to them. They in riot gear. Who walked into that? Everybody ain't built like that. Just like back in the days. When we was doing clubs and the police would show up and all of a sudden the promoter would be getting ready to run out the back door. Why? Because he didn't have no permits. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but the new technology, when they got these new clubs, police come, the owner come out, talk to them, they get back in their car and they brush off. Why? Because that dude got lawyers and everything on deck just in case something like that happens. You know what I'm saying? They quick with the unlawful assembly and all that whatnot. You know, sometimes you do got to just do the due diligence and get the permits. Sometimes you can't. You might be shooting a video. You ain't got time to get no permits, and you just go for what you know. And when they say move, you push. So you just got to – if the event was a success and nobody got hurt, then that's a check. That's a plus. So the next time you do it, then you can instantly go back to the fact that nothing happened. And you had a successful event, so when they come the next time, you can just say that to them instantly. We need a sergeant, because last time we did this, it was no problem. Or when they go to get their permit, they can say, last time we did it, it was no problem.
There was no arrests and whoop-doop-doop, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, so hey, Gary,
way, it worked out.
Hey, Gary, is there a chance that maybe next time when you guys do an event like that, you could maybe hire some off-duty cops to bring a car out? And
I mean, we would love to do that if the police – if the police are part of our community, the police from Oakland don't even live in Oakland, man. Like, I would love to support an officer from Oakland that lives in Oakland. Yeah, come on off duty and come hang out with us. I want community members. We had community leaders as our security.
Right.
That's
right.
What we had.
But if you went to the Oakland police and said, hey, this is what we're doing, and we would like you guys to be a part of it, and then that way you include them,
it sounds like a great idea. I mean, it sounds like a great idea on the surface.
Right.
Just understand we had these community leaders all came and did it for free. Then police people are going to charge $200 to $300 per officer to come out and just hang out. And you know, that – no – we – Fab gets paid to go places. Too Short gets paid to go places. Compton Menace gets paid to go places. Everyone came for free. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we all came out for the community. Now – I would hope the police would be like, you know what, I'm off duty, I'm going to come check that out and help you guys security that. But no, it's going to become, a business for them. And I'm not trying to be a business for them. Because the money, all money needs to go to buying more food and backpacks. That's the whole hype. Like, it ain't about we don't want to get permits. Everything costs more money, and every dollar got spent on that. Every dollar of donated or own money.
I agree with the way you guys did it.
I agree
100%.
We can't wait to, you know what I mean? Our life is we broke right now. We can't wait to do some more shows and get some more money. But that's what we're willing to do because we know our talent brings us money. So we'll spend it all. And that's, so our hype is we ain't got time to spend $1,000 on three cops.
That's
a lot of families could eat right there. That's someone's rent for the month. For Oakland. I'd much rather pay someone's rent for the month.
I truly believe because, church organizations, they can assemble, you know what I mean, they can get together. It's the goodness, but it's the technicality of, it seems like a rap function, churches are able to get away with it. They don't come smash on churches for some reason, you know what I'm saying, when it's a bunch of black folks. You did a smash, how we shoot videos, you pull up and you shoot them all, you know what I'm saying? So that's what you did, you got away with it, it's good, you know what I'm saying? But now you got more smarter and you're able to go back to the situation even more smarter, you know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely, absolutely, and I appreciate you saying that because we were gathering all info, pictures, and media things so next time it could be bigger even, obviously. We want to do it again next year, and hopefully, like I said, corporate sponsors be aligned, and then of course, we involve in everyone at all levels. But until it grows to that point, every dollar of our money has to go to these kids, man.
It would be so awesome if maybe the Oakland Coliseum would just donate their property for that one day. For you guys to come in, and then, maybe they could sell food or whatever inside for anybody else.
Absolutely.
That would be great. That could be one of the biggest events in the Bay Area.
I think it was like 2 years ago, because me and my cousin T-Maz, we did a song called Backpack, right? So they got an organization called Oakland Natives, and they did a backpack, drive with Abdul Rahim. Abdul Rahim used to play for the Kings.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they had the mayor. It was right there, at City Hall. It was very successful. A whole bunch of folk from everywhere came. They had U-Haul trucks full of backpacks. It was a wonderful event. They had Dwayne Wiggins perform. We performed. It was big. So it's just like aligning yourself with the undeniables that, people that they can't deny makes things easier. And sometimes it's
Absolutely.
Just a matter of hooking up with the right people, So if y'all go hook up with Oakland Native, Tatiana over there, I guarantee
man,
you can make it bigger, bro, everything. I got her contact and everything, man.
I'm going to need that because that's where we're trying to take it. And, they all want to – like the most important thing is what you said before, a successful event. No arrests, no injuries, nothing but good news from that. So now when we come to them with our idea, we hold a little more weight. We be at all these city meetings, man. Like me and Fab be in the back raising our hand, asking questions. I know they know us, and I know they see us coming. So we definitely trying to align ourselves with them. I just know that Oakland wasn't prepared this year to do that through the mayor transfer and all the things. They were trying to get their life together, and we were telling them we're going to do it anyway.
You know what sucks is it seems like every year you're going to come up, well, Oakland wasn't prepared to do that. They're always going to say that. So you know what?
And that's why we keep doing our thing. And next time we'll just promote it a little further out, so maybe people that want to get involved can get involved a little sooner. I mean, this was with 10 days of promotion.
Yeah,
this
came out last week. I seen Fat
Brother. But you know what, Gary? At the end of the day, in this day and age, you did it the way you were supposed to do it.
Yeah,
fuck
just
that.
Do that shit.
You know
straight up,
saying?
Man. You know what I mean? Yeah, and you know, and past
that,
yeah, we're going to try to do it better next time, any way
exactly.
we can, and you know, and we're glad it went off right, and that's
all,
for real, man.
Man.
I appreciate you guys' time.
Hats off to everybody that took part, because you know, especially in Oakland, for you to do that in Oakland and have the gall to even put it together. A lot of these motherfuckers out here, soft sissy, sissified motherfuckers, they can't put nothing like that together. So you got
especially with all that shit that's going on right now, all their gangs and this
and
that,
and
the
cops. You got to be an upper echelon thinking motherfucker to pull off something like that. The fact that y'all had a successful event in this day and age, that's excellent.
Man, you know, I appreciate that, man. I think it has to do with community, though, like that we are really grounded in our community. We just ain't from Oakland and then trying to show up one, and we took off for a year or 6 months trying to come back to throw an event. It's like, man, I see this dude everywhere at the Oscar Grant
right.
thing, at the Meserly thing. This dude speaking at the Books Not Bars thing. This guy was San Quentin. Like, everyone sees, like, how we moving. So the community's like, you know what? I'm going to listen to them. You know, like you said, almost anyone can't pull that off.
Right. As soon as they get it out their mind, that is not a publicity stunt, then they understand it. You can't make them believe it if they just believe in their mind that it's publicity stunt.
You know what the most important thing is, Gary? The most important thing is there's about 200 kids that got backpacks right now and are ready for school. What's the rest?
There's 800 kids that got backpacks, baby. It was big. It was big.
We clean Walmart, Target,
Walgreens, everyone out, bro. They was cleaned out. Like, just imagine if we had a real place to buy stuff at bulk. We was out there like 10, everyone had a shopping cart, like Manny style, filling it up and like, geez, Louise. Like,
yeah,
it was incredible that it came off. Like, it was crazy.
I wish I was there,
a lot of
man.
People.
I would definitely be there at the next one, man. I wish I was there.
Yeah,
at that
you know, for sure. You know, we're definitely going to have one again next year. But, you know, we try to do a free, at least give away food once a month in Oakland, man. And that's what we're going to try
man,
to continue
you know
that as well.
You know what? Let me tell you something. As soon as, and this is on the real, Gary, as soon as the Bay and the whole get rid of all that controversy, then shit like that would be more glorified and exalted. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
When we able to work in an atmosphere where it's more love in the atmosphere, that's when it'll blossom and everything will be everything. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need to get back
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know.
Let's get onto a better note right now. I mean, not a better note, but that was great, Gary. 100%, man. Great job for you guys. You guys.
I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, buddy. I understand.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying. I want to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I got some good news today, and here it is. So it's just like this. You hear that in the background. The Raiders today just drafted Terrell Pryor. Now, I think with all the controversy Terrell Pryor got in his background, I think he's a perfect fit for our system. So the Raiders just got Terrell Pryor in the supplemental draft today. Jason Campbell went out with a concussion against the 49ers. So, and I wonder what they plan on doing with this guy, Terrell Pryor.
They're hoping he could play.
Yeah, I mean, he said he's ready. He told you, Jackson, he's ready to come. So I don't know. I know he's probably not going to be right away, but he might move into that second spot behind Kyle Bowler and then be ready.
He's gonna need Gary Archer to take him under his wing around the town.
Especially around Oakland. Yeah, he needs to become popular if he thinks I'm staying, man. I gotta take him to some spots.
Hey, that's real cool. Took that up fast.
Man, that's for really. Yeah, you know, the Raiders are scrambling right now, you know what I mean? Believe that. They're scrambling, flipping, and flying.
I totally agree with that move. Did you guys hear about the fake Brett Favre yesterday? There was a fake
Brett Favre on his way back?
That was at the Green Bay Packers training camp. He was signing autographs for all kinds of fans. And he looked like Brett Favre. He was wearing a number 4.
To the bootleg Favre? I'm feeling that.
The bootleg Favre. Oh, it was at the Minnesota Vikings training camp.
Oh, wow.
Minnesota Vikings training camp. And this is what, since agent Buzz Cook thinks retired, quarterback Brett Favre is Elvis. It's fitting that football's version of the king now has an impersonator. Per the Green Bay Press Gazette, a man who looks like Favre has been showing up signing autographs. Guy even wears a Favre jersey. Oh, the Packers version, not the Vikings or the Jets or whatever team Brett Favre may play for next. Favre's travel coordinator, David Thomason, tells the Press Gazette that Favre hasn't been in Green Bay since last year's game between the Vikings and the Packers. Jerry Watson, who owns the Stadium View Bar and Grill in Ashwaubenon, said the imposter arrived Thursday night and signed autographs for 15 minutes. This guy's a phony, Watson said, but he keeps his head down so you can't get a good look at him. Here's hoping that it's actually the guy from the What Should I Do parody. I definitely asked for his autograph. So on the phone, we have Brett Favre on the phone talking about this thing. Brett, how you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, I went out there today.
We think about this imposter, Brett.
Well, you know, everybody wants to be a Brett Favre, but nobody wants to be a Brett Favre.
Right. So nobody, you think this imposter can throw as many interceptions as you?
Oh, nobody can throw as many interceptions as me. I'm the best. I'm the greatest at what I do. I mean, he's going to go out there and try, but, you know, he can never sling it the way I do. I make those interceptions look good. But, you know, if anything, it's all about the publicity, and I like the publicity. So, I mean, if he's going to go out there, I'll show his face, that means I'm probably going to sell more jeans by the end of the day.
All right. So what's the word, Brett? Are you actually retiring now?
Well, there is a slight chance I might be coming back at the mid-season. You know, I can't, you know, I can only mow my lawn for so long before I want to go back in that football field. So, I mean, I feel like I can get at least 100 more interceptions if I go out there.
All right. Well, that's good. All right, Brett. So hopefully we'll see you out there, man. Go meet this guy. Go get you an autograph, buddy.
Somebody just tweeted that the 49er Raider preseason games from now on will be canceled.
Wow.
So basically that was the last game.
Niners, baby!
Yeah, that was all day on the news, bro. They're saying that all day on the news.
Yeah, they were talking about that this morning, too. I didn't get a chance to listen to it. But I think they just need to bring him in Oakland. In Oakland, they don't have – you know what the problem is in San Francisco? This is what I was telling in San Francisco. The problem in San Francisco is that stadium is too damn small. When you walk through the hallways, you're bumping into everybody. You know, that's – in Oakland, you don't really have that. It's not – I don't think there's as much violence in Oakland. And then in San Francisco, you get – that's where all the – I think a lot of it is all the North Daniels. They come together and they wear the red 14 jerseys. You know, and you don't know if they're gang members. You don't know if they're just dudes that love the 49ers or what. But it's crazy out there. And I think
Camacho,
a lot of it has to do with that stadium.
Camacho.
Yeah.
The Raiders play in the hood, bro.
Yeah.
I've seen 49ers get, Dolphin fans get beat up. You know what I'm saying? That is the black hole, bruh. It is not good to be there wearing nothing about any other team but the Raiders.
Okay,
both stadiums are in the hood, though. Both of them are in the hood.
The Niners stadium is just, like, shitty. It's the smallest stadium in the NFL.
It's definitely a horrible stadium. I just think it has to do with the security presence, people that really look like security. You got all these people with yellow coats that don't mean shit. That's what it is. Take out some of that money. If you have 1,500 police there, there will not be the same shit going on. But you have 1,500 of them dudes in yellow jackets like you can't go here, yeah, that'll stop nothing. I'm going to fight everyone in front of that dude. Means nothing. There's only 6 cops, 20 cops. That ain't nothing. You need 1,000 cops.
Look, we got the New England Patriots coming to Oakland, and Mike is coming there. But Mike said he's going to wear his Patriots jersey. Now, he's going to be with me and whoever else is with us. But, Mike, are you sure you want to do that?
Yeah, you know, just feel like it's time to put my life on the line. Just it's a personal experience, you know. Experiment just to see if I can come out of this alive.
Man, here's what I understand from traveling the world, like I'm sure Omizi could tell you. Traveling the world on these football games, I wear my Niner jersey everywhere. And what I've noticed is when you go places, as long as you're with someone from that town, it's usually good. Don't try to show up with you and your 7 friends that are all Patriot fans and think you're going to run through Oakland Coliseum. That's not going to happen. But you could show up with 5 Raider fans and two people of them got Patriots jerseys. It's going to be fun. It's going to be like, you buster got this. That's what it's going to be, a little fun, little talking situation. Ain't no one going to slap that person. Ain't no one going to push them. They're like, he's with some Raider fans. Okay, there's just some homies. Okay, we with that. It's when you try to opposed by yourself. The Patriots don't even come in there by themselves. They come with a whole team.
Mm-mm.
So how are you going to go in that stadium by yourself with that jersey on? You better be with someone else.
Yep. But I'll tell you what, I took my buddy, who was a Tennessee Titans fan, I took him through the parking lot one day when he wore his Eddie George jersey. We walked a long way to the entrance, and he went through the parking lot. There was little 2-year-olds going, "You suck, Eddie George! Titans suck!"
You're going to get that. You expect a verbal abuse, but, it's not going to get any further than that as long as you're with the right people.
And the one thing I want to tell everybody who's NFL fans, Raiders, 49ers, Eagles, Browns are got grilled, the dog pound and stuff like that, is it is what you make it. It's verbal. It's verbal. That's what I'm saying. Don't take it farther than that. You don't get paid from that team. You're not paid to fight for that team. So it's verbal.
Absolutely.
And the person
90% of all fights, 90% of all the fights are probably the reaction to the verbal.
Right.
The way
and
they
the
react to it.
Who's yelling at you don't know you from Adam. He doesn't know your kids. He didn't sleep with your wife. He doesn't know your mom, Leave that dude alone. Let him talk whatever and then just, warn him and then be out. Be done with it. Get away. Be a big man about it. Like me and Omi say all the time, the bigger guy is the one that don't fight nowadays.
Absolutely, because you can't fight anyways. You got to be able to walk away because as soon as you fight someone, you already know.
Yeah.
You already know, man. This dude don't even know how to do nothing but load a gun, man.
Yep, exactly.
And people like me, you, and Omizi, they promote where we're going to be at. So our name's on flyers and pictures. Like all these other jerks could act foolish and show up wherever they want. But like us, they promote we're going to be somewhere. So we really got to be upstanding people.
All right. You don't want to be the one that, he's going to be here. Now he's going to be starting shit. And then nobody promotes you no more.
Yeah, so. That's the move.
Yeah. So, man, it was a good weekend. How was the rest of the weekend? Did you go to Summer Jam, Gary?
Went by Summer Jam, promoted in the parking lot. Fab was up in there messing around. But, I've seen a million times. What was better to me was 15,000 cars in the parking lot that like music. So I took advantage of that.
Right.
CEO style like Russell Simmons and P. Diddy used to do,
Wait, deal with no damn politics of trying to get in and getting stuck at the door and all that bullshit.
I mean, they always try to do that, but it's just, nowadays we know some pretty powerful people, man. Like Fab's pretty regular over at the Oracle, man. I don't think there's too much that the radio station or anyone else could have said about Fab. He's pretty regular over there. They mess with him.
All right, so we're going to be right back. It's Soul Kitchen Radio. Gary Archer's on the phone. Omizi, Misha's on the phone. We'll be right back. Soul Kitchen Radio. Here's a little Gary Archer exclusive right here. Check it out.
What's up with it, man? It's Mac Maul, and I'm chilling on Soul Kitchen Radio. Y'all that I mean, T's to the top.
There is magic.
All this week, got my eyes looking Siamese. Money County, homie, this is where you find me. But plenty of us got our dreams on layaway. Pass the drink, hope the liquor take the pain away. My nigga called, said his baby mother tripping on him. And he afraid that his seed won't get to know him. Just the thoughts of a nigga zoning. Been gone for a minute, so let's get to smoking, yeah. Heard they shooting up the block from my mama's house. CSI, try to figure what the drama's about. Flame left that boy head looking like a raisin. Them niggas banging with more metal than Iron Maiden. I'm the truth and y'all niggas is Fantasia. P double out of gang, niggas know the camp came up. Nowadays getting money, what it's all about. Remember how we all started out. I got a drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Just touched down, I'm chilling with the mob. Repeat offenders so my niggas ain't getting jobs. Still keep a half a zip in a sandwich bag. My girl calling and begging me a sandwich dad. Grown man still talking my mouth full. Another murder fucking up the property value. And losing is doubtful. Plus my whole team is real niggas, so we gon' do it with or without you. I'm in the sky, see me up in the ozone. You claim to be a pimp, but you ain't got no phone. Getting no bread while I'm on to a new loaf. I'm tired of the bull. Shit, remind me of Cool Coach. Building my name to a mountain of truth. With chicks swallowing kids from the fountain of youth. High grind, got my neck looking Aquafina. A little something for the non-believers. I got a drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Young boss showing up to meetings in street clothes. Beef is like Grand Theft Auto with cheat codes. Call me the Peach Show. And I ain't trying to gamble with life. Cause when you bet against the house, you leave broke. And if you rich, then your brains is working. But they taking headshots, one thing's for certain. This is the Peach Show, and the game is curtains. Put the pedal to the floor when the lanes is merging. I'm with the camp, mayhem and killer. We don't bananas, you can't change gorillas. It's been a while, so I hollered at Big Jew trying to replace us, stepping into some big shoes. Hit the lift stall, baby, don't forget the swishes. Switching lanes while the girl pulling on my zipper. Taking down, then I'm back to the street. So if motherfuckers asking for me, you can tell them I got drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air. Drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air, drink in my cup, blowing smoke out the window, dog. Money in the air.
So, Kitchen Radio, we're back. That was Blanco. That was Peoples. Peoples, Money in the Air, right there. Man, it was a great show again today, man. We just kept it rolling on Meezy.
At first, when you played that song, I was like, "What the hell he playing?" Then he started rapping. I was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "What the hell?" I said, "What the hell Camacho playing now?" But then it got to the rap, and I was like, "Oh, okay, that's what's up."
Yeah, man. So next week we got the fantasy football draft right here. So on Meezy, we're gonna be talking all football.
Yeah, I'm gonna be prepared. I'm probably more prepared than y'all, and I'm not even gonna participate.
You know what, I'm gonna let you draft on Meezy, because my son who's playing, he's not gonna be able to draft, he'll be in school. I'm gonna give you his Yahoo stuff and you can draft for him. How about that?
That'd be big.
Okay, so you could be part of the draft, and you could draft for my son Darius. So that'll be.
Let me ask you this. Do you pick people in lieu of the, like, when the season started? You got to pick players now on what you think they're gonna do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean?
It's a dice roll. I mean, I'm saying some of these.
I mean,
it's
a dice roll, but you know. You know, Arian Foster is going to get about 1,000 yards rushing. Brett Favre, Drew Brees is going to throw hella touchdowns. I mean, it's really.
Any of them could get hurt at any moment. It could be over.
Yeah, well, that's the part of it. You got to.
It's a dice roll.
And you get a backup too. So what you should do, I'll send you the Yahoo stuff, and you can go in. You can do a couple mock drafts, Mike. Go in and do a couple mock drafts. So you guys know how the draft is going to work. You know, I'm telling everybody who hasn't done it before, go in, do a mock draft. You could see what's happening. And in a mock draft, it's just you and the computer. And you choose, you line up your people and you choose who you're going to get. You do the mock draft. It takes about 15, 20 minutes. And then you go from there. You know, and then you'll be ready for your real draft. You'll see how the draft works, how and when. And then rotowire.com, they have like all kinds of the ADPs, the average draft position. You know, so you see that Arian Foster, Chris Johnson used to be number one, but with his holdout, he's moving down into the bottom of the first round. Because why would you pick him up right now if he's not even playing? You know, so
did you see him? Did you see him talking about Cutler, talking about releasing Cutler?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they were just talking about that today. They were talking about releasing him because he's a bust.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would think. Well, I thought he was doing good. Who else did they got in Chicago?
Man, I don't know, but they already had him at third string.
Wow,
that's how bad he's playing. He's third string. He whack.
Wow. I bet he wishes he was with Denver still, huh?
Man, I mean, he got the cold part. He got diabetes. You know what I'm saying? So he's been talking about that. So he can't keep his weight up. You know what I mean? So regardless of how he work out, you know, he fighting against that diabetes, and he probably like to drink. He probably hard headed, so he can't stay in shape. So that's been affecting him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great.
They knew he was diabetic when they drafted him number one, but he just ain't been able to deal with it on this level. That's my opinion.
Right, right. Let me see.
Yep.
So, am I getting this wrong? Because Woody Page or Denver Post. Oh, okay. I'm getting this all wrong because I keep getting confused with Jay Cutler going to. I thought it was Jay Cutler that went to Chicago. It wasn't. Jay Cutler stayed. He came from Chicago and went to Denver. So
right.
I think a lot of it is Tebow would take. No. I'm right. I'm tripping because Woody Page Denver moment will come. Former Broncos starter Jay Cutler returns to the town with the rest of the Bears. So he goes to the Bears. Kyle Orton comes to Denver. And Tim Tebow is I think Tim Tebow is going to start in Denver, really. And I don't know what's happening with Jay Cutler.
But we still need a quarterback.
Well, we got Terrell Pryor now. You know, I'm hoping he's
going to. By we, I'm saying the 49ers still need a quarterback.
Yeah, you're right. Because, you know, Alex Smith didn't do shit versus the Raiders.
Right. Let me ask you this, because I didn't see the game. Did they play Culpepper at all, or did he just work out?
I don't think they played him at all. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't see the game. I was working, so I didn't get a chance to watch it.
I might have to catch it on the NFL, but they may not show it now. They messed it up, so they probably don't even replay it on NFL Network.
Nah, they're going to play it. They don't play all the fights.
So?
They'll play the game. It's probably already in the system to be played, so they'll definitely play the game.
Okay, that's big.
Yeah, so that's what I tell you guys. I'm gonna send you the information like now. So whenever you get a chance over the weekend, you could go in and you could help out Darius and do his thing. I just got to get his information so you can start checking out his fantasy football stuff.
It's good.
Because I know he don't know what the hell he's doing anyway. It's his first year. So
I'm going to have my partner Reezy help. My partner Reezy going to help me, too. That's what he do.
Okay, cool.
He going to have me in the upper echelon. I'm going to outsource. I'm cheating.
Yeah. Look, so Brian is trying to come down. Brian is trying to come to San Francisco, but he wants Mike to get him a job.
Yeah.
Wow. Put on his diaper form.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word with the Mike and Brian relationship?
Oh, I know. Well, he just called a moment ago, but I don't know what that was all about. But, yeah, I mean, his dad said that he would, you know, get him a room and everything. So, I mean, if he could get him a room in San Francisco right now, it would be a lot easier for him. I mean, all he has to do is just go on Craigslist and start looking for rooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Darius, come here.
That's scary right there.
Yeah, yeah, Brian is like a big baby. I said it, and I put it out there. So,
yeah,
all right, man.
Yeah,
let's get up out of here. Oh, I'm going to give him your phone number, Omiji, so he can call you instead of calling me every 15 minutes.
Ooh.
Brian.
Oh, it's all good.
Ooh.
All you're going to get is... You have reached a great communicator. Just give me a call.
I'm just saying, you might give me a. You might, it's a dice roll. It is a dice roll. Shit. You might reach me. You may not. But when you do, it's going to be very, very valuable conversation.
I had to tell him. I said, dude, why you keep telling me the same shit all the time? Come on, stop it.
I know how to deal with that type of shit. That's all I'm saying.
Cool. I'm going to give him your number then. I'm going to see what you say like 2 weeks after him calling you every 20 minutes.
Brian hits me on Facebook. He just says, what's up?
Oh. Dude, he called me every... Dude, did you get a sign with ESPN? Did you get us this? Did you get us that? I'm like, dude, calm down. I need a job. Where can I work? So Darius, this is what's going to happen. Omizi's going to help you with your draft since you're going to be in school next week.
Alright.
And he's going to help you. He's got a fantasy football expert that's going to help you with the season. So you guys can work together. And he said Omizi's saying that your team is going to win the whole league.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think it's true.
Are you going to give him permission right now? It's on the air.
I give you permission to help me out with my fantasy football league.
As long as I get E40.
It's going down, Shorty. That's easy.
Did you hear what he said? As long as he gets to meet
E40. That's easy. Your daddy just gotta bring you through. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, next time when you're in Omizi, next time when you come out here and you go to the studio.
We got a show coming up. You can bring him to us. It's on the 27th.
Okay.
It's gonna be close to. It's gonna be at one of these fairgrounds, Tulare, I think.
Cool. Tulare, where is that at? I don't even know where that's at.
Man, you know, sometimes you gotta just make shit happen. You know, you go to Disney World.
Dude, look, you just gotta make it happen,
that's
huh?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's up there by if you're going towards, you know, Fresno, I think, or something like that.
Is that next week? Because next week we are going to the outlets next week.
I'll text you the details. It's in Tulare, though, it's at the fairgrounds. I'll let them meet 40 and come on stage and everything.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. You hear that, Darius?
But now, if he don't do it, then you know it's your daddy's fault. Not on me.
I work on Saturdays. I work on the 27th. We're going there on the 28th. And on the 4th, on me, I'm going to be out there in Sacramento for the Sigma Beach Splash. You going to come out there on Sunday?
Remind me, because I might be here.
We're going to be at Discovery Park.
I go pass out some flyers, real talk. Let me know.
I have my
squad up there. Me and my squad will go up there and represent.
Plus, I ain't seen you in hella long anyway, and I owe you $20.
Yeah, that's real. I need that. I need that stimulus check. I need that stimulus check.
You need that stimulus.
I need that stimulus check, bro.
All right, man.
Okay.
So until next week, Omega, I'm gonna send you the Yahoo stuff for Darius. and we'll see what happens from there. But until next week, everybody, it's Soul Kitchen Radio.
Alrighty.
And we're out.
Bye-bye. Peace, everybody.
Soul Kitchen Radio.